You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
95BFM News Election Coverage 2020.
Yes, I asked Minister Little on what plans Labour has in terms of their justice policy. Yesterday, during the debate, National leader Judith Collins raised some issues on gangs and the rights of silence. And she said National will establish a specific police unit on gangs and revoke the right of silence. I know Labour hasn't announced its justice policy, but what do you think of what the National leader is proposing?
I'm deeply sceptical on both counts. I mean, when National was in government for 9 years, they ran down the police force. The number of police officers per head of population reduced under their watch. The gang problem, in the sense of rising gang numbers, started when they were there. They knew that gangs that previously were operating out of Australia were establishing a foothold in New Zealand, and they did nothing about it. Now, it is true that the number of gang members has increased in the last 3 years because of the proliferation of Australian-originating gangs establishing in New Zealand, largely because of people who have been deported from Australia coming back here. We have grown the police numbers. The frontline police numbers are now 2,000 more than was the case 3 years ago. Part of what we're trying to do with the police commissioner is to establish dedicated organised crime capacity, and we've got that now. We're building that up to 700 police officers nationwide. That is helping us deal with the gang problem. All of that could have been started and should have been started under the previous National government. They didn't do anything. National is very good at talking a big game, but doing absolutely nothing. When it comes to the right of silence, that is, you know, the right of silence in the criminal justice area is enshrined in our New Zealand Bill of Rights Act. And to undermine that, to deal with that, is a huge step to take. Those protect the right of silence is a protection for the innocent. And tempting as it might be in the dreadful situations we have with abuse and murdering of children by family members, to undermine that right of silence, actually to do that would have implications way beyond the horrific situation that we're seeing with, you know, kids being murdered. Now, the reality is, when it comes to children being abused and murdered, is the police have extraordinary powers of search and surveillance, which they can use, which they do use, and they are using, and we should be supporting the police to use those mechanisms as part of the investigations into those horrific crimes, but not undermining the rights of the innocent, which is what the National Party clearly wants to do.
I think the party mentioned at the last election that there is going to be a transformative criminal justice reform, and is the party going to continue that?
Yes, we are. We started it, and part of the start of it was to shift the dialogue, the public discussion, away from the harsh on crime nonsense and the lock more people up. That's why we had our criminal justice summit in 2018, and the work that we've commissioned both from the Hapaitia group led by Chester Burrows, former National MP, plus the Māori group that produced their own report, plus the victims group that produced their own report. All of that came together and built this consensus to say, you know, what we've been doing up to recently has not worked. It's not reducing victimisation, it's not reducing the amount of offending, and it's not helping the offenders who could be helped to get off the offending track. So I'm confident there's been a change in public attitude, actually reflected in part in what the National Party is now saying in other parts of their justice portfolio, that we have to approach things differently. So that's why we've, just in the last year or so, we've put more money into the therapeutic courts like the Alcohol and Other Drug Court. We're working on the sexual violence courts, specialist courts like that, plus other courts that are dealing with people who have underlying health conditions or circumstances like homelessness, to stabilise their lives so that the things that have caused them to get into offending, we address those and get them off that offending track. You've got the work that John Davis is doing in corrections and Port Kaiwangi program, which is supporting prisoners that have done their time once they get out to get into a stable situation, get into work, so that they don't have an impetus to go back into offending. That started in the last year. That is starting to pay dividends already. That's the stuff that's going to make a difference.
The Prime Minister said she wants to beef up hate speech laws. What would that include in the new laws that if Labour is re-elected?
We have the two principal laws we have dealing with hate speech. First, the Human Rights Act, and we have a criminal provision in that Act, Section 161, that criminalises the incitement of disharmony on grounds of race or ethnicity. We also have the Harmful Digital Communications Act, which deals with online hate speech. The gap in the law is in the Human Rights Act and that criminal provision I talked about. And although it criminalises incitement of disharmony in relation to race or ethnicity, it doesn't include inciting disharmony on grounds of religious belief or of sexuality. And we think those gaps need to be filled. Now, there are elements on the right, including the ACT Party and the New Conservative Party and some of those sort of fringe elements, who are trying to create a culture war to say, gee, trying to fill that gap is erosion of freedom of speech and all the rest of it. Unfortunately, those people, the ACT Party, the New Conservative Party and those others, what they actually want to do is preserve the right of people to continue with hateful expression, and to say things like, you know, we should be able to kill all the Jews or kill all the Muslims. That's the right that they're trying to defend. They don't say it in those terms, but that's actually what they mean. We think that is wrong, and we think that the criminal provision in relation to hate speech ought to include those other areas. You can criticise religions and criticise religious doctrine without engaging in hate speech, and you want to preserve that. You need to preserve every other ability to express unpopular opinions, even offensive opinions. But what you should never allow to happen is for others to go around and threaten and intimidate people just because of the colour they are, the religion they believe in or worship, or their sexuality. And we do have to get that balance right.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.